for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is one of two of the Saturday afternoon service of July the 6th, 1991. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of this, in this service.
A additional look at the curses. And as I said yesterday, and I probably will say many times again, we do not begin to even understand what we're dealing with here yet, because it's a subject that we have not been taught about. And we're having to learn as we go, as the Lord teaches us, and as situations arise before us, we are learning about the subject. Even though it's all through the Bible, we have never really looked at it, or at least I hadn't, until the recent last six, 8 years. I think that's about as long as we have really thought about it seriously. But we come back again to the thought of why do we come or want deliverance? Well, of course, the very first reason is so I can be helped. But that's really not the basic reason. The basic reason is so we can walk a holy life before the Lord. And that is what we need to have in our thought when, as we study and as we consider these things, that we can walk a holy life before the Lord. That we need to put inside our spirit, that the reason I want to be free is so that I can walk in righteousness before the Lord and serve Him to the full potential that I have. That's within me. And then, as we look at curses, I basically see three areas of curses. Of course, then they can be broken out into other areas. But I see basically three areas of curses. One, we get under ourselves because of our sins, that things that we've done or do that are contrary to the word of the Lord, where God says we're cursed. We're cursed if we do these things. Curses that I get under because of my own doing. Then there are the curses that we are under because of the sins of our forefathers. Because the word says that there's visited upon us to the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation. So then there's the sins of our forefathers that bring curses upon us. And then there's the curses that are upon us because we disobey the word of the Lord, and God says that He puts the curses upon us. And then there's the curses that come upon us from things we say or do or have done, or that is perpetrated against us by witchcraft, sorcery, voodoo. There's the curses of voodoo and witchcraft which come upon us. But then, in the end, these curses are all under curses that God says that He'll put on us also if we do these things. So, we can look at it and say, we caused it, our ancestors caused it, or voodoo or witchcraft caused it, but in the end, it's still Satan and things that we allow Satan to do or have done in our life, and then God says we're cursed because of it. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 12, it says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within your gate, that they may hear and that they may learn." And that's what we're doing. We've gathered together. We're all trying to learn. I'm trying to learn with you. I have not arrived at the knowledge that I would like or want or desire to have in these areas. It says, "Gather together that you may learn, and in learning you may fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law." What? And 13 says, "And that your children, their children which have not known anything, may hear." That those that haven't been taught, and we haven't been taught. So we need to learn, and our children need to learn. That have not known may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God. There is no fear, really, in the household of faith of the Word of God or of His judgments. We do not fear the judgments of God. And that's awesome. It says, that learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over this Jordan to possess it. And as long as we live in the land, in this land, we need to fear the word of the Lord and fear and walk in His statutes and keep His commandments, and that we and our children and our children's children may know and realize that they need to walk in the word of the Lord and walk in the fear of the Lord, in a righteous fear. Now, in Genesis, or Exodus chapter 20, I made reference to this yesterday, but I did not read it. Today, we will look at it, Exodus 20, because the first commandment is here in this beginning of this chapter. And it says, and God spake all these words to Moses. Moses didn't say them. God did. Moses repeated them. People say this is Moses' law. No, it's God's law. Moses just repeated it. And he says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt or sin and from the house of bondage. You shall not have any other God before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So I want to be one that the Lord shows mercy to and that loves me, because I want to keep His commandments. I want to be able to come out from under the curses that are visited upon my heritage from my ancestors. And I want my ancestors to be free of any curses that I may have gotten on my life, because I want to come before the Lord and have them and be sure that they're broken from off of me. Okay, then in Exodus 34... chapter 7, this is repeated, same what I've just read. And over in Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 9, it is repeated again. Exodus 34, 7, Deuteronomy 5, 9. Then we go to Deuteronomy 23, where we pick up the 10-generation curse. Now, the four-generation curse is in the area of having other gods, the occult, and these areas. The 10-generation curse is in the area of sexual sins. God hates sexual sins so bad that in the area of sexual sins, it carries a 10-generation curse. You would almost think that He would hate most of all the having other gods, but He's lenient in that area. He allows us requires a 4-generation curse. But in the area of sexual sins, there is a 10-generation curse. God hates sexual sins. It's abomination. Sodom and Gomorrah, Pompeii, other places He has wiped out. I'm surprised that San Francisco still stands. Mulholland Drive in Beverly Hills. I'm surprised that that hasn't collapsed opened up and folded itself inside. In that area and other areas of the nation. But I guess the cup of iniquity is filling up to run over. And it's, in my opinion, it's running over. So in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 says, a bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And then it says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And the illegitimate child, that's sexual sin, out of wedlock, out of the marriage vow, is a 10-generation curse. The Amorite and the Moabite, which are the children of Lot by incest, is a 10-generation curse. Incest carries, and sexual sins carry a 10-generation curse. So now, let's turn over to Leviticus, or back to Leviticus, chapter 18, and we will review here some of the things that Leviticus 18 shows us, which is basically almost all sexual sins. It starts out with verse 4 and says, and again in the first one it said, "The Lord spake these things to Moses to say unto the children of Israel, that after the doings of the land of sin, or Egypt, you shall not do, and but you shall walk in mine ordinances and keep them. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinance to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if any man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. But if we don't keep them, we shall die. If we keep them, we shall live." We need to study these things. Jack said, Irma said, we quit sinning, we quit dying. So we need to learn all the areas of where we have sinned so we can reverse the process of death. If we don't sin, you won't die. In the day that Adam sinned, then death began to take hold on him. Before he sinned, there was no death. And I believe that that is still true today, if we can come but to that place. But the Scripture tells us that we're all sinners. But we have a way out. And the way out is repentance and through the blood of Jesus. We can reverse the sinning process as we labor and work at it, and as the Lord reveals to us the areas of our lives that we need to bring before Him. It says, "None of you shall approach to any near of kin," to any. And that goes back to the fourth cousin. I believe in some states it's, there are laws against marriage to the fourth cousin. So any marriage within a family is incest and is an abomination to God, and you're cursed for it. And here it says, "You shall not approach to any near of kin to uncover their nakedness, because I am the Lord." And it would be better if this was translated correctly, if it said sexual relations instead of nakedness. The word nakedness does not mean just a naked person. It means sexual relations. And every place that word appears, that's what it means. And then it goes on to say, "with your father's wife and with your sister." Well, now this is a very neat little verse here, this ninth verse. And it's repeated again over in the 20th chapter. But here it says, "the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover." Now, that takes in a whole relationship of a family that is married, mothers and fathers have died, remarried, half-sisters, half-brothers, step-brothers, step-sisters. It takes in the whole thing in that one little verse. And God says that a stepbrother and a stepsister shall not marry each other. We had a boy who lived here, and he married his half-sister. He didn't know she was his half-sister until when he first met her. And then he found out who she was, but he went ahead and married her. And it caused havoc in their family. They had two children, and there was just all kinds of problems. And the person who married him should have not married him. He was a Pentecostal preacher, and he should not have married him. But he did. And after this had happened, and the family had all broke apart and great problems, this boy came and lived here at the campground for about a year and a half to 2 years, several years ago. And he needed great help because of this turmoil that was in his life from this problem. And then it goes on to say, "the nakedness of thy sons, daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, your granddaughter or grandson, or from either side, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter. See, there's a stepdaughter. thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, thy mother's sister, thy brother's wife, your daughter-in-law, your brother's wife, and you shall not have sexual relations with a woman or her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Thou shalt not take a wife and her sister. You shall not have a wife and her sister, which you say, well, Jacob did. Yes, but Jacob did all of this before God laid this law down. And from the time God laid this law down, that was against the word of the Lord then. So you have to put things in their right perspective before you go and say, well, that happened such and such in the scripture, so I can do it. Well, you have to take it in its right relationship and its right application. Verse 19 says, you shall not approach unto a woman and have sexual relations as long as she is put apart for her the time of her period, uncleanliness, her period. So God says that if you do, it's sin. And there's a possibility that if you do, you'll find the woman and the man may have female troubles and prostrate trouble. And if you ask the Lord to forgive you of doing that, if you have and you have that problem, ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the Lord to heal you of it. You'll find that if it came from that cause, there will be healing for you. But if you have those problems and you have done that, and that's the cause of it, we can pray for you all day unless till you repent and you'll never have healing. See, there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people aren't healed. Because there's something that they have to make right or repent of before the Lord can heal them. As you see right here in His Word, He says that if you've done these things, that you're not to do it. You shall not. Here He says, you shall not do this. Then you go and do it, and you have female problems or prostrate trouble. You come to have somebody pray for you. Well, first of all, you got to get rid of the sin. And in James it says to lay hands on the sick and anoint with oil and lay hands. And if they have committed any sin, have to repent of your sin, it shall be forgiven, and then there shall be healing. You shall not lie with your neighbor's wife. Adultery. You shall not let your seed pass through the fire. Moloch, abortion, child sacrifice. You shall not lie with woman or mankind is with womankind. Homosexuality, bestiality. And then he says, defile not yourselves in any of these things. And verse 26 says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither shall any of your nation nor any stranger that sojourns among you. So if a stranger comes in the congregation of the household of Israel and commits these things, he pollutes the whole household of Israel. So God says that the stranger must obey these laws as well if they're going to be part of the camp. Verse 30 says, therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And then across the page we pick it up again in verse 20. And again he says, abortion, giving your children to Moloch. He says, he shall surely be put to death, those who do this, and the people of the land shall stone whoever does that. But the children of Israel all got to doing it, giving their children to Moloch, taking them and throwing them in the fire and burning the firstborn child. And abortion is taking the firstborn and a lot of others in our land. We are giving our children to Moloch. And God says that the penalty is death here in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. Then he says in verse 3, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. In verse 4, he says, if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from it, then that person is also guilty. And I will set my face against that man, and will cause his family to be cut off. And the soul that turneth after familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off. I mentioned yesterday that you can be cut off without being stoned. You just die before your allotted time of 70 years. You'll be cut off. But here, the Lord says two things. He says, take them out and stone them, or you'll be cut off. And then he says in verse 7 and 8, to sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He doesn't ask if you want to or not. Then he goes on down. He talks about adultery and says, you shall be put to death. And a man that lieth with his father's wife be put to death. A man that lieth with his daughter-in-law be put to death. And homosexuality and lesbianism, it says that you're to be put to death. If a man take a wife and her mother, mother and daughter, it's wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. If a man lie with a beast, they shall be put to death. If a woman does, she shall be put to death, and the beast shall be put to death. And then your sister, incest. Then we're back to 18 here, where we talked about the woman's monthly period time. And the Lord here says that you shall be cut off if you do this. And it goes on and continues on. But verse 22 says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. And verse 26 says, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. The Lord says that we're his, we're different from other people, that we're to act different from other people, and we're not to partake in the abominations that are in the land. And over in Deuteronomy 27, we will, now before you see, it said, you shall not do this. And then it said, you'll be stoned and be cut off. Now in Deuteronomy 27, God says that you're cursed. Verse 15 says, cursed be the man that maketh a graven image. Having another god before you, you're cursed. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. So if you hold in light esteem your father or your mother, you're cursed. And Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17, hold your finger there, don't lose that. Exodus 21 and 17 says, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And verse 15 says, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So you're cursed if you've smitten your mother or your father, and you're cursed if you have cursed your mother or your father. And you're cursed if you hold your mother or your father in light esteem. And you're cursed if you make the blind to wander. You're cursed if you pervert judgment from the widow or the fatherless. You're cursed if you lie with your father's wife. Incest. You're cursed if you lie with a beast, bestiality, you're cursed. You're cursed if you have relations with your sister, incest, cursed. You're cursed if you have relations with your mother-in-law, you're cursed. And you're cursed if you smite your neighbor. And you're cursed if you kill somebody, murder, you're cursed. And then you're cursed if you don't apply and appropriate all of this. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. And in Malachi, which we talked about yesterday, but I'm going to read them today, are curses again that God adds to these in the book of Malachi. And in chapter 1, of Malachi, he says that the deceiver is cursed. That if we have made a vow to the Lord and have not kept our vow, we break the vow, we're cursed. Or if we change our vow If we alter the vow, we're cursed. If we offer the give something in a vow and then we change it to something different, God says you can't do that, that you're cursed. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says that to the priest, this is a commandment for you. And if you'll not hear and if you'll not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. I'll curse your blessings. Yeah, I've cursed them already because you don't believe what I'm telling you, because you don't lay it to heart. So, and today, as I mentioned yesterday, and that we are considered the priest of the house. Every male is the priest of the household, and we are responsible to see that our household prays and blesses the Lord and gives glory unto the Lord, or we will be cursed. And then over in chapter 3 and in verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? You've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And the Lord answers, in tithes and in offerings. And he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation, because you have not brought your tithes into the storehouse. There was another verse here that I wanted to read. Oh, it's verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's saying if he wasn't extending grace and mercy to them, they would have been consumed because they all had disobeyed the law of the Lord, and his mercy has been extended to them, or they would have been consumed from off the land. Back in Deuteronomy 28, we pick up again in verse 16. Now, in Malachi, and here in starting with verse 16, are basically curses that apply to the whole congregation, to as a whole, not as an individual. Most of that we have read up till now, except in Malachi, has been individuals. Now this is to the whole congregation. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. And, well, let me read verse 15. I've got to read it first. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses will come upon you, and they will overtake you. And you'll be cursed in the city, and cursed in the field, cursed in your basket, in your food, and cursed in that which you have in store. Cursed shall be the fruit of the body, and the fruit of the land, and the increase of your cattle. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto you, until he have consumed you from off the land, whither you go to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with a fever, with inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. And the heaven that is over your head will be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. And the Lord will make the rain of thy land powder and dust. Well, we had that in the 30s. There's very few of you here that remember that, but there were great clouds of dust that came across in the 30s, and you couldn't tape up the windows. It sifted in the house no matter what you did. It came and sifted into the house, and sometimes you'd have a half inch of fine silt all over everything. And so the Lord fulfilled that here in America, and he may do it again if we don't follow after him. And the Lord will cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. They shall go out one way against you and shall flee seven, and you shall flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, in Vietnam and Korea, that this certainly happened. And their carcass shall be meat for the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no man will flay them away. And the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with emrods, with scab, and with the itch, where thou canst not be healed. And we've got some things today that we can't be healed of. They haven't found an antibiotic for it yet, and they may never find one. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. And verse 35 says, and the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the leg with a sore box that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. And verse 45 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake you. You can't run away. You can't run fast enough to get away from them. They will catch up with you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you have not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So we need to praise and thank the Lord for all that he gives us and all that we have, that we will not be under the curse. And then we need to search out the areas of our lives as best we can, and as the Lord reveals them to us, so that we can bring them before the Lord, so that we can come out from underneath these curses, so that we will not be consumed from off the land, but that we shall be a people that shall rise in the land, walking in the word of the Lord in life and health, declaring his word because we obey it and walk in it, and because we desire to. You need to walk in the word of the Lord because you desire to walk in it, not because you feel you have to. We need to do it because we want to please the Lord. We want to walk in the fear of his righteousness and not the fear of his judgments. We need to have a righteous fear of God and not a fearful fear of him. But if we don't keep his commandments, then we'll have a fearful fear because we'll get his judgments. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25, which I made reference to yesterday, says, the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination in thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. As I mentioned yesterday, there are a lot of things that are cursed things we shouldn't bring into our house. There are pictures that are cursed. There are idols that are cursed, and such as I mentioned, the pagoda of the Shinto religion of Japan that is in the fish bowls, and people have sun gods in their houses, the Mexican sun god, and they have Buddhas and little statuettes and things that are demonic in their house, and it may not be a god to you, But it is worshipped as a god, so God considers it. It's a god, and you bring a devil in your house when you have these things in your house. This same young man that I was talking about that married his half sister, they had a picture. He had a picture that would light up in the children's room, would light up and look like it was on fire in the night, and the children would scream and cry, and. Finally, he realized, believed him, and they took the picture and tore it apart to see why, what was wrong with it. And on the back of the picture, it had a prayer, either to Buddha or a Shinto prayer, on the back of the picture. The picture had come in from the Orient, and whoever made the picture made it to a Shinto god or to Buddha, I don't remember which, and it had this prayer on the back, and it had such power in it that it would light up. Missionaries have told me that they have moved into, you don't call them houses, really, house to them. And in this house, there had been an area of the corner, in the corner, where sacrifice had been, and candles and food had been put to a heathen god, or in honor of the ancestral gods, of the ancestors. And when they would move into the place, they would feel this strange feeling when they come to that part of the room. And then they came to realize that they had to cleanse the house. break the satanic power that was held in that spot because a worship had been offered to a heathen god there. There's all kinds of examples that we could give in this area of things that are abomination that we know of that have been people have brought into their houses that have had to be taken out. One thing is books, different kinds of books. We had in our house several years ago, I was collecting different kinds of Bibles. So I had a Mormon Bible and I had a Jehovah's Witness Bible. And we had we were interested in prophecy, so we had Gene Dixon's book on prophecy, and we had some other things. And when Derek Prince came into our home to stay with us for a while we was holding some meetings in our area, he started feeling things in the house and began to look and began to find these things, and he started pulling them out and started burning them in the fire. He told him that, and I said, well, let's get rid of them. So we started burning them in the fireplace to get rid of them, and we had to end up painting our whole living room because the devil didn't like it, and the fire would just come back out of the fireplace and smoked up the whole living room. And we had a new house, and we had to repaint it, but we got rid of the items that were not pleasing unto the Lord, all that we could find at that time. Over in Joshua chapter 6, here in verse 18, if ye in any wise keep yourself from the cursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse, and ye take of the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So the Lord said this was when they were going out to battle, and they were admonished not to take of it, because lest they become accursed like it. But you know that Achan did. And he brought a curse in the camp. He kept a wedge of gold, and he kept some Babylonian garments. And he caused a curse to come upon the camp, and I forget how many died because of it. Let's see if I can see here what it was. But anyway, Joshua said unto him, why hast thou troubled us? He said to Achan. He said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Now see, Achan not only brought the curse upon his family, and his family and all their possessions were burnt with fire. They were stoned and then burnt with fire. All of his possessions, his cattle, everything he owned was destroyed. But he also brought the curse upon the nation of Israel, and there were quite a few who died. I don't see. That they went out to battle and lost the battle because of it, and were defeated in battle because of Achan's sin. And 36 men died in the battle, which was because of Achan's sin, and he was responsible for it. Now, in Proverbs 28, we have another curse that's listed here. Verse 27 says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So the Lord says that we are to turn our back on the poor about us that we can help, that we'll be cursed if we do. In Proverbs 3, there are many, many more. I just picked out the ones that stand out. Proverbs 3 and 33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. So those who rebel against God, God says that his curse is in their house. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. He blesses the habitation of the just. But the house of the wicked is cursed. In Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, it says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood or from righteous judgment. The coward is cursed. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. There are a lot of shysters fleecing the household of faith in many different ways. Some come and as a Christian and try to get you to buy their products or do something because they're a Christian, and all they're doing is fleecing you. Others try by different ways to get you to give finances to them, and all they're doing is fleecing you. And others come and try to get you under their dominance with witchcraft powers so that they can control you. The Lord says that those that do that, they are deceitful and they're cursed for being deceitful. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I will be finished this afternoon for this time. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 58th verse. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, many and great, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and long continuance. He repeats it there to let you know that he means that it will last. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, I read most of them back here in the first part of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy already. But he says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. So it's wide open to AIDS and other diseases that have come on the earth that are not written in this law. And he says of them, he says, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed. The Lord says that he'll do it and until you be destroyed. And verse 65 says, and among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither the sole of thy foot will have rest, but the Lord will give thee there a trembling heart, failing eyes, and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of life. And chapter 30, verse 19 says, And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blesseth himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall laugh on him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. I think we need to seriously study everybody for yourself and seek out these areas, and that we may become a holy people unto the Lord, that we may walk before Him in holiness and righteousness, and that we may come out from underneath the curses that are upon us because of the sins of our own self and the sins of our ancestors before us. Jesus made a way for us to do that. In Galatians 3:13, it says that Jesus became a curse, that we don't have to bear the curse. And so we need to learn to apply that, and then get rid of the curse in the name of Jesus, which we will do some more this afternoon when Irma finishes.
As he was reading, I noticed the Holy Spirit had spoken to me about what I should talk about this afternoon, and I noticed that he said one thing that I didn't realize was in there. If you do not believe this, you will be cursed. If you don't believe what he was reading, what the Word of God says, you will be cursed.
That's another scripture says that if you don't believe, you're not prosperous.
That's right. That's right. And it says, if thou canst believe. Now, a lot of people believe and they come and tell me, well, I'm all delivered. Then I usually say, well, is all things possible to you? Are you able to walk into the cancer ward and heal everybody? That's part of all things. All things. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, let's turn to Mark 9:23. I accidentally bought my old Bible and it's kind of falling apart. I do have better Bibles, so don't worry about me, but I may have to patch it together. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what I just talked about. So we all can, how many can say that all things are not possible? All not, we are not arrived. We have not arrived yet, have we? No. So it's because of our unbelief. Now, let's read. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Let's say that. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. And we need to work on that because we had an experience with unbelief once that really opened my eyes. And I'll tell you about it in a minute. But we're going to read the word first. The word is powerful. Mark 17 and 20. Mark 17 and 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's pretty little, isn't it? Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now that does not mean that the victim should be praying and fasting. It's the person who is praying for the person. I am in Matthew 17. Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew 17, 20 and 21. I was concerned over my little hunk of paper here that's torn out. I'll probably come to it in a minute. Otherwise, you know, we have these little concordances back here, and if a minister is ministering and all of a sudden you hear something and you don't quite know where it is, you can just quickly look at your little concordance. Or if you've got a real good Bible, you can find it real quickly, and so you can satisfy yourself that we're up here saying what we should be saying. Mark 11:23. Maybe Glenn can find it. If you can't believe, you won't prosper. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whoever, I read that, didn't I? Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's one of Brother Hagin's famous scriptures, isn't it? And that's a confession scripture, that's a proclamation. And we need to learn some of these scriptures and proclaim them daily. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now that doesn't mean that you should have pray for 3 Cadillacs and a mansion. Pray with some common sense. Don't be praying for things that's amiss because he won't hear you. Luke 17 and 6. Well, in the 5th verse it says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I think we could say that to the Lord too, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith, and so on and so forth, if you have faith. That kind of faith. Now, Mark 16 and 14. I don't think I read that one. Maybe I did. I was really going to talk on something else until all of a sudden I changed it. We need to be flexible with the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I see many ministers come in here with great prepared sermons, and then all of a sudden they just throw their notes away and begin to preach under the anointing and the power of God. It's that anointing that's going to destroy this yoke. Mark 16... 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. That means he really read them out. That's Jesus reading out the disciples. With their unbelief and hardness of heart. I wonder how hard our hearts are, really. And I wonder how much unbelief we have in us. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. See, they wouldn't pay any attention to Mary Magdalene. She's just a woman. She had 7 devils. Who wants to listen to her? And these disciples would not pay any attention. And he really bawled them out. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These that believe. Don't you like to have meetings where signs follow? In my name shall they cast out devils. In the name of Jesus shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, we can handle that. A lot of charismatics can handle that, and they can't handle the first phrase. You notice, I think probably his professors could tell you that when something is mentioned, the first is the most important. In a series, The first item is the most important. That's what the scientists and the engineers used to tell us when we were typing. And these, in my name shall they cast out devils. That's part one. They shall speak with new tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They shall take up serpents. And Glenn says that means they shall remove demons.
Now, the original does not say take up serpents. The original says they shall remove demonia.
And you see, the snake handlers, we get accused of being snake handlers out here because somebody said, well, they're a bunch of snake handlers. But that's not what it is. We're removing evil spirits, which are a symbol serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I always used to say that about the Los Angeles water in the summer when it turned green. And I'd have to take a drink of it. I'd say, if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't even say you have to pray. Now, doctors and nurses will come along when you're real sick. They'll either hold your hand, or they'll put their hand on your head, and great strength comes from just touching another person. But you can pray, because it does say then to call for the elders if you're sick. And so after that, the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. You know, we can't do anything unless the Lord's working with us. I wouldn't even want to try. And confirming the word with signs following. Now, I had my eyes open once in Evangelistic Temple in Houston, Texas. We were there helping Derek Prince in a meeting way back, I think it was about 1969 or 70. And we had done the full gospel convention. Glenn had taped it, and I had handled the books tables. And Derek was staying over for a few days to have meetings. And the people that was taking care of Derek in their home were architects and interior decorators. So they asked Derek to preach on something that was fairly nice and civilized, you know, because they were having all their friends come on that morning meeting. So he preached on the bear with the rib in his mouth or something, prophecy. And after it was over and I was out in the foyer, I heard a woman scream, a blood-curdling scream. And we had swinging doors behind us. So I went and I looked into the auditorium from the back, and I didn't see anything. And I saw Derek and the preachers. They were all going out to lunch together with these architects. And I didn't see anything about it. Well, this lady, a lady came out from inside, and she told me goodbye because she was over there. She had cancer really bad, and she was at the cancer hospital, and she was getting ready to go back to Mississippi. And she had come by my table almost every day and would tell me how bad her cancer was, and she didn't have very long to live, and I would pray with her. But she came out, and with her, right behind her, came out a lady. It's when polyester first came out. And this lady had on a white ensemble suit, I can still see it today, with a long coat, and she had premature gray hair and was a beautiful young woman. And so this cancer lady started to cry. And I said, come on, don't let that spirit of grief take you over. And all of a sudden, this woman out of this very aristocratic lady with diamonds on every finger, she was some oil man's wife, all of a sudden she screeched, she don't have a spirit of grief. And she screamed this blood-curdling scream, and I realized it was the same person and fell under the table. Now, we were not casting out spirits as such. We were just helping Gary Prince. He'd tell us what to do. He'd tell us to fast of a day if he's going to have some real hard cases, or he would coach us. And that's what you need, a coach, or you need somebody to kind of help you along, to give you some confidence and to see, seeing is believing. And so he wasn't there, so I had to do something. So she was right under my feet, so I get down on my knees and begin to pray for her. And another minister's wife, a priest's wife, an Orthodox Greek priest's wife, got down, and we started to pray. And this demon began to talk. And it was a mean devil. He really was. That woman was flouncing around and hitting her diamonds on that flagstone entrance. And we were trying to hold her, and she's trying to tear her clothes off. And, And we were really having a battle, and I don't know how much authority we had. I had enough authority to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, and that's about all. And a few people passed by us, coming and going, and the assistant pastor, music director, he come by with a policeman. And when he came through the door, this woman just settled down. Otherwise, we'd all been hauled away to the movie hatch or something. She just settled, lay down, and he said, "Oh, can we help?" And the assistant pastor said, "Oh, no, I just believe she's fainted. She'll be all right." And he didn't care too much for deliverance anyway. So he walked on. And then the spirit began to talk to us. And it said, "I'm..."
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.